that want to run and they want to hide and think, well, they can escape their problems. No, your problems, unless you face your problems and make some changes in you, that problem will always be there. Today we have Christians and others. They've gotten real good at hiding. And they think they hide from God very well. But yet they don't realize that God says, I know where you're at. I can see you. They've got real good at camouflaging herself. You know, many Christians hide behind a camouflage of lots of excuses. You realize that? You've heard me say, I'm sure, before, and if not, you'll hear me say it many times in the future. An excuse is a lie wrapped in the skin of reasoning. Amen? I want you to think about that. An excuse is just nothing but a lie wrapped in the skin of reasoning. Some camouflages, excuses that people use is their work, is their family. Oh, they need to rest. They need pleasure. They need to go have fun and entertainment. Oh, their health is bad. Oh, they don't have enough money. Or they're out of money, or they got to make money. These are all excuses or camouflages that many Christians hide themselves behind. You know, some of the favorite excuses that I've personally have heard from people talking to them, especially a lost person, will say, well, you know, preacher, he said, you know, when I have time, I will come serve God. One of my favorite ones is, you know, preacher, I haven't done anything bad. Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to serve God? They look at themselves as good. And then, this is probably my all-time favorite. God, one day soon, when I've had a good week, and I wake up on Sunday morning and I'm not tired, and it's not raining or sleeting or snowing or too hot or too cold, or I can't go fishing or hunting or work in the yard, then I may surprise you down at the church with my appearance. You know, those are just excuses that it's a lie wrapped in the skin of reasoning. They have no intention on ever following through. One that I've heard Christians use, Lord, you know I want to read my Bible. You know I want to pray daily. But Lord, you know, I work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and I just don't have enough time to rest and relax. And you know, when I get home in the evening, I've got to turn on the sports channel and check on the latest sports events and the news events. And then I got to watch 3 or 4 hours of TV every night while I'm resting. And I just don't have time. I don't have any spare time to read my Bible and pray for 2 or 3 minutes. Sounds familiar? I mean, that's an excuse many Christians use all the time. But there again, it's a camouflage of an excuse. It's a lie wrapped in the skin of reasoning. Another one is, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, I want to serve you. In fact, Lord, if you'll just show me the person that you want me to talk to about Jesus, I'll make sure I call the preacher and give them their name and address. Amen? Those are excuses. They're lies wrapped in the skin of reasoning. We have many Christians today that are running from God. They're AWOL. You say, preacher, what's that? Absent without leave. You say, preacher, what do you mean? That's a military reason. Yes, the Bible says we're in the military. We're in the Lord's army. And many of us are absent without leave. We need to get back to serving God. One reason the people who don't serve God is they don't trust God anymore. They've stopped trusting God. You know, I was talking to a lady here, it's been about 2 months ago. And she was complaining about her financial situation. And I let her talk for 5-6 minutes. And she went on, she didn't have any, our finances was just all in a mess, and how that she's having health problems and her car is tearing up, and on and on and on the list went. I finally asked her, I said, "Are you a Christian?" She goes, "Yes, I'm a Christian." I also then, "Do you pay your tithes?" "Well, no, I don't have the money to pay my tithes." I said, "Then therefore, that is your problem." She goes, "No, my problem is this." I said, "No, the main problem is you're not giving to God what belongs to God. And because of that, God extracts his tithe from other means." I'll never forget, my dad told the story when he was traveling salesman years ago, traveling 13 northern states, selling gold to the dentist. And he was saying how one day he came back to Frisco, Texas, to his parents' house and said, "Dad, let's go in business together." And they went in the turkey business. And they bought about 2,000 head of turkey and started raising it. And his daddy was taking care of it while he was on the road making money. On the road making money, he didn't have time to go to church. He didn't have time to pay his tithe. He didn't have time for God. Finally, going into Milwaukee, one day he had a telegram that caught up with him. And his dad sent him a telegram, says, "Son, come home quick. Turkey's dying like flies." Why? He said later on he knew why. Because he had taken what belonged to God and bought turkeys, and God collected up. Amen? You can't tell me that you can rob God and get away with it. Amen? You might run, but you're not going to hide. God's always going to catch up. And by the way, God always collects more than his 10%. So people, when you come to the preacher and say, "Hey, look, I've got this problem and I've got that problem," realize that God doesn't want you to have problems. God wants you to be an obedient Christian. God wants you to serve him and to love him. And you're saying, "Preacher, are you preaching about money?" No, I just thought I'd throw it all in while I'm there. Amen? One thing about it, I want God to bless you. I don't need your money. Church don't need your money. By the way, God doesn't need your money. Don't you understand that? God doesn't need it. But he wants you to be obedient. You need to pay your tithe as much as you need God's blessings upon your life. And they go hand in hand. When you're thinking about it, you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You know, many people run from God, but they can't hide. In the Bible, we have several people that we see ran from God. They ran from God. How about Adam and Eve? You remember them? They ran and hid from God, did they not? Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 9 it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And then Adam answers and says, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Well, how did Adam know he was naked? The little serpent told him. Amen? The little serpent told him. He disobeyed God. He ran, but he cannot hide. God knew right where he was at. When God called for him, God knew he was hiding in the bushes. But yet, it was all because of sin. Sin. Sin is the reason why we run and hide from God. You realize that? Sin is the reason why people doesn't want to get faithful to God. I've had people say, well, preacher, one of these days when I get tired of my sin, I will get saved. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says, unless my spirit draws you, you cannot get saved. It's not up to you. And by the way, God's not going to always draw. He says, my spirit don't always strive with man. You must be drawn by the Holy Spirit to God. Somebody else that ran from God. How about Jonah? These are famous runners, aren't they? Jonah, you know the story well. God says, I want you to go and preach at Nineveh. Jonah says, well, that's a wicked city, God. I don't know about that. Over in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. We see it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. In other words, it was a wicked city. It was a bad city. By the way, any of you know where Nineveh is? It's in northern Iraq. It's controlled by the Kurdish forces. Over next to Iran on the eastern northern part of Iraq on the Euphrates River. Still there today. Nineveh is still there. Amen? And God says, I want you to go and preach to them. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. Now, where's Tarshish? Opposite direction. Amen? Isn't it something how when people run from God, they don't run halfway to where God tells them. They run the opposite way of where God tells them. They want to go as far away from God, wherever they think God's at, as they possibly can. And then it says, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah here, like all of us, think, well, we can run from God. I'll just hide from His presence. I'll go down in the ship and go to sleep. God won't know I'm down there. Wrong. Our passage this morning we read from Psalms, God knows where we're at. Don't matter where we go, God knows where you're at. God wants you to live for Him. God wants you to serve Him. God wants to bless you. But when you run from Him, when you try to hide from Him, guess what? Trouble's just to come your way. We've seen in Jonah's life what happened. Trouble came his way. A storm started brewing. The ship started rocking and the people started throwing things overboard. Finally, Jonah said, hey, look, guys, just throw me overboard. I'll solve your problem. What happened? Jonah realized that you cannot run from God. Amen? Why? Because God's going to come where you are. He's going to be right where you're at. He's not going to let you hide from God. Somebody else. How about Elijah? You say Elijah ran from God? Mm-hmm. He didn't run so much from God as a little Jezebel scared the daylights out of him, Brother John. He took off. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And by the way, this is just right after Elijah had called fire down from heaven. And you know the story. How it not only licked up the water, it licked up and burnt the rocks and everything around it. And they killed the prophets of Baal. This right after this happened. And with it says, and with all have he has slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah and said, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, Jezebel told him, says, look, you know all those prophets of mine that you killed? Tomorrow, by this time, I'm going to make sure that's happened to you. Scared the preacher to death. Did he not think God could take care of him? He just seen fire caught down from heaven. He just seen God work. And yet, the preacher got scared. Look in verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. And he continued to run until God caught up with him. Do you know so many people, we as Christians, sometimes tend to forget that God is on our side. We tend to forget that, hey, you can't run. You can run, but you can't hide. Why? Because God knows everything. God's always there. God's always there. But Elijah did what? He later repented and God blessed him. God fed him. God used him. Jezebel still hated him. Jezebel still chased him. But you run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Jeremiah gives us a verse that I want to share with you this morning. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Think about that verse. God is saying through the mouth of Jeremiah, are there any place that you can go and hide that I don't see? I see it. I know it all. He said, God says, hey, look, I fill the whole heaven and earth. I'm throughout. There's no place that you can run and hide. Today, the best thing I know to tell you is to stop running and surrender to God. Stop running and surrender to God. You know, several years ago, there was a song back in the early 70s, tie a yellow ribbon around an old oak tree. Any of you ever remember it? Tony Orlando made it a big hit. But you know, that was a true story. It took place in 1971 down in White Oak, Georgia. A man decided he was through being married. He had a wife and a kid, and he literally walked away. Took off to New York. And when he took off to New York, son, go ahead and keep up with me. Flip it on up. The picture. Go ahead. You went down too far. Put the tree up. Go back, find the tree. But anyway, down in White Oak, Georgia, a man decided to leave his family, to leave everything that was his, and take off. He went to New York, became a drunk. He stole money from his wife and took off. And he lived what he thought was the life of Riley. He thought he had it made for you younger ones. He thought he was doing what he wanted to do. Until one day he ran out of money. When he ran out of money, what happened? Well, he decided, I'll just write some hot checks. He wrote a hot check or two, got caught and sent to jail. He served 3 years in jail. When it came time for him to get out of jail, he started missing his wife and his family. And he wrote a letter to his wife. And he said, hon, he said, I don't deserve you. I've done it wrong. I've ran and I've tried to hide from my duties as a father. I've ran and tried to hide from my duties as a husband. But he said, if you still want me back, I'm in jail right now. I'm going to be getting out. And I'm going to be on a bus headed for Miami. And that bus goes through White Oak, Georgia. And it passes by the house. And that oak tree in the front yard. He said, if you love me, you want me back, put a yellow ribbon out there. By the way, church, the yellow ribbon means you're sorry. You're sorry. What happened? He got on, time of his release came, he got on the bus and he took off. He came down the road and he told somebody next to him, and eventually the story spread throughout the bus, and the driver heard about it, and he asked him, he said, would you look and see if you see a yellow ribbon? Not only did he see a yellow ribbon, he seen the tree covered in yellow ribbons, saying, hey, look, I want you back home. I want you back home. Here's the problem. God has put the yellow ribbon out for you. Who's going to go back home? Who's willing to go back home? You say, preacher, that's just a good story. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Yeah, it's a famous story, but yet it's a true story behind the song. This morning, too many Christians are running and hiding. Too many people are trying to scatter and run from God's will. They're trying to get away from God. Some people, all God wants you to do is read your Bible and pray, and you won't do it. Some, He's asked you to teach Sunday school, and you won't do it. Some's asked you, He's asked to be deacons, and you won't do it. Some, He's actually called to be a preacher, and you won't do it. Some, He's called to be a missionary, and you won't do it. So many people, God has put His calling upon their life, and they've taken off. They've run. There's even been people that sit in churches. Maybe somebody sitting here this morning that God, all He's wanting you to do is get saved. He's just wanting you to get saved. He says, hey, look, I love you. I love you. I love you. Would you come back to me? Would you come to me? Would you let me save you? Would you let me bless you? Would you let me fulfill your life? Had a friend of mine, I've mentioned him before, named Bill Britt. He always said, don't die with the music still in you. Would you think about it? So many people are dying today and the music's still locked up in them. Why? Because they've never got up and never sang their song for the Lord. God's got a song for you to sing. God has got something for you to do. Stop running and hiding. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How is it this morning in your life? Are you running from God? Are you trying to hide? Are you trying to do your thing and thinking, God, He doesn't care about me? God doesn't want to do anything for me? Let me tell you something this morning, church. God loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's wanting to provide for you. All you have to do is saying, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. You just have to surrender. The yellow ribbons are hanging. The yellow ribbons are out for you. How is it in your life? How is it in your life? Are you willing to accept the forgiveness that God's given? Are you willing to stop hiding from God and surrender to His will? By the way, I started off the message telling you, yes, I ran from God. But you know, I'm happier today than I've ever been in my life. Why? Because I'm serving Him. I'm serving Him. How is it in your life? Has God chosen you to do something? By the way, some, all He wants you to do is come to church, sit on that pew, and bring others. That's all he's wanting you to do. It's up to us to do our job. Amen? It's up to us. Lord, we ask you now just to be with this message. Lord, just help us this morning to realize that we can't run. We can run, but we can't hide. You know right where we're at. You know all about us. You know our thoughts. You know what we say before we even say it. Lord, you're all around us. No matter where we're at. Now, Lord, help us to surrender to you this morning. Help us to take the freedom of pardon of our sin and not take it lightly. Lord, help us to realize that you pardon our sins. You forgave us of our sins in order for us to serve you and tell others about you. Now, Lord, we ask you to have your will and your way in this invitation. If there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, we ask you to save them before it's everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name we pray.